Dap on Draft podcast, and this is a Friday episode, which means we're going to talk about the one prospect matchup to really watch this weekend. It is a little bit of a stinker from a prospect matchup perspective. We will obviously talk about the biggest matchup of the week, which is the undefeated Indiana Hoosiers against the Ohio State Buckeyes. We will also talk about Abdul Carter versus Ariante Ursary in that Penn State-Minnesota game. And we will talk about if Army can possibly upset Notre Dame when Navy could not. And then we are going to get into those rankings talk. We are going to talk about the college football bracket as it sits right now. We are going to discuss the matchups as they sit right now, even though everything is going to change because it's a Friday episode and we're having a little bit of fun. But I can't do it by myself. I have with me the fake Corey Kinnon to my left, y'all's right, if you're looking at the screen here. Corey, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing good. That's going to end here soon because the Browns are playing a Thursday night football. So I'm trying to soak in the last moments of my happiness on this Thursday evening that we're recording here before. They inevitably embarrass me in front of all of my friends on national television. But I'm good for now. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a snow game in Cleveland today. So that might be some fun madness with Russ and Jameis. So, you know, you never know. But for now, I'm good.
Yep, there will be 17 total points scored in that football game. It'll be magical. But you want to just get into it? Let's get into the slate a little bit. Let's get into the prospects. Let's go. Where are we headed first?
Jeez. I guess you probably start at the top and we talk about Indiana, Ohio State a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Again, the first, at the top, the high noon slate. Fox has to figure that out, by the way. Their high noon slate of what they're doing there, but
it's what they want to do. They want to dominate that noon kickoff, and I think it's a ridiculous thing to do to have Indiana, Ohio State, and Ohio State Penn State at noon. When, you know, the West Coast isn't even awake yet, but there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that game, it'll be interesting, man. Ohio State, 10.5 point favorites. I think that line is probably about right. I wouldn't be shocked if it's closer. I wouldn't be shocked if it's a blow. This game could go in any direction and I wouldn't be shocked by it. I do think it's a steep outcome for Indiana to win this game. But again, I've been pretty critical of Ohio State's ability to play tough in big games. So we'll see how that comes around here. Again, Ohio State was dealt a big blow. The 2025 draft was dealt a big blow when Seth McLaughlin, their starting center, Alabama transfer, tore his Achilles this week, who had been playing some pretty good ball and improved his draft stock quite a bit this year. And that's a good matchup for CJ West. Talked about CJ West's, was it this week or last week I gave him a helmet sticker? I think it was last week I gave him a helmet sticker. For his performance against Michigan, and that, yeah, because they were on a bye this week, for his domination against Michigan. So CJ West going up against a backup center who is Carson Hinsman, but Carson Hinsman's been starting at left guard for them, and Donovan Jackson's starting at left tackle. So Ohio State's got some shuffling to do on that offensive line now that McLaughlin went down as well. Hinsman was their starting center last year. So we'll see kind of how they shuffle that offensive line around here against Indiana. But CJ West has a favorable matchup. CJ West is a pretty typical day three one tech that I love. Man, there's always one of those day three one techs that I just love every year, and he's that guy for me this year. So that's a matchup that I'll be watching pretty closely in this game. Outside of that, a Curtis Work resume game for sure as well. He had one against Michigan, and I thought that was one of his more shakier outings. It was pretty gutsy, but overall kind of up and down. So I want to see how he does against another big-time opponent here. Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, you're very close to the situation there in Ohio. What are your thoughts on Will Howard as an NFL player, even, you know, as a day three guy, somebody who's big, athletic, efficient you know, in that offense? Does he have what it takes? Where's he kind of at?
Yeah. His arm is pretty mediocre for his size, which I think is pretty limited, like limiting him, but he is athletic. To me, he comes off as like a Sam Ellinger, Adrian Martinez yeah. is obviously way more athletic, but one of those guys, that's like a practice squad guy that you might elevate every once in a while, like that might get a game day elevation, might get signed to the active roster. If a backup goes down or the third string goes down, but outside of that, like, I don't think he has the arm to play in the NFL really, but does have some of that size and athleticism to compensate a little bit.
All right. I mean, this is a very intriguing matchup to me because it very much feels like during March Madness, where the team that kind of comes out of nowhere and is filled with fourth and fifth year guys playing against one of the blue blood programs in college basketball. That's really what this feels like. It feels like, you know, a bunch of fourth, fifth, and sixth year guys, transfers, a lot of them from James Madison coming to Indiana to play as older college football players going up against the Blue Bloods in Columbus. Can they continue the undefeated season as 10.5-point underdogs at the Horseshoe? It's going to be a tall task, but I am very excited about this football game overall. And then there's a whole lot of nothing. I mean, we can talk very quickly about Jared Ivey and Princely Umemilin against Barber from, mm-hmm. and I'm going to butcher his name once again because I butchered it when we were talking about it in the pre-show, but it is Austin Barber. I kept wanting to call him Austin Booker in the pre-show meeting that we were having. Got some top 50 love from Nate Tice earlier in the year, and I don't really know how he's been playing. I'm actually going to watch him tomorrow morning along with Miller from Clemson as well. And so we're going to see if those guys can kind of sneak into, you know, my top 50 to 100 range somewhere there. But it will be a big matchup against Princely and Jared Ivey this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Princely's playing really well, man. And Dane just wrote an article on Ivy as well, as a guy who started as a day three pick over the summer and now is getting top 100 consideration as well. Mm-hmm. And again, we're talking about a guy who is a legitimate like 6'5", 6'6", 290 pounds. Nowhere near as rocked up or as athletic as like Shamar Turner is it, or Shamar Stewart, is it that size from Texas?
Or Shamar Turner, for that matter. Turner moved to the inside now.
Turner's more of like a Graveler type, you know, the Pokemon Graveler.
Yeah.
Turner's more of a Graveler. But Ivy's a lot of fun, man. He gives you a lot of alignment versatility as well. So mm-hmm. yeah, I do like Ivy quite a bit coming into this matchup as well. Florida offensive line's gonna have their hands full. They're coming off a big win and they're riding the Lagway wave right now as well. So mm-hmm. That kid can play. So I am excited to kind of see if that team can kind of continue on. I know they've already mentioned that they've already committed to Napier beyond 2024 as well. So their head coach. So let's see if they can build some momentum here at the back end. I think building around Lagway and building that momentum around Lagway is definitely the way to go. And let's see if they can ride that hot wave.
Yeah. It should be at least an entertaining game there. Outside of that, what is there to talk about? We have like Georgia versus Massachusetts and Tennessee versus UTEP. We can talk a little bit about Kentucky versus Texas. What's Dion Walker going to look like against what I think is one of the best offensive lines in college football? Still no Hairston for Kentucky out at corner. I believe he was in the top 40 of Dane's top 50. Hasn't really played much at all this year. Mm-hmm. Quinn Ewers, what do you got? This is a very good defensive line for Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Very good defense overall. I know that they're 1-6. They've had some bad quarterback play all year. But man, that defensive line can get after it, and will they be able to make Quinn Ewers uncomfortable? Because when Quinn Ewers gets uncomfortable in the pocket, he breaks down. So can Kentucky do that and keep this game close?
Yeah, they did it against Ole Miss. So Kentucky, those mid-tier SEC teams always seem like that. They're kind of in that scrap.
And those mid-tier SEC teams this year all seem to have like really, really solid defensive lines.
Yeah. Yes, they do. And Kentucky has become like almost Georgia's B team. Like guys who didn't stand out at Georgia, they'll transfer to Kentucky and start there. Yep. So the Dumas Johnson linebacker from Georgia last year, he's starting at Kentucky now because Smail Mondon and Jalen Walker and those guys kind of took over. Vandegrift, the same way, a five-star that just never saw the field at Georgia, transferred to Kentucky, starting there now, which we can see why he never saw the field at Georgia.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Those ratings only take you so far for sure. But that's just to say that Kentucky has talent. And so Texas is going to have to show up in this game, and Quinn Ewers is going to have to show up in this game. It hurts that Maxwell Hairston has been hurt all season. That hurts because I've heard from a few people now that Maxwell Hairston is coming across to people as that surprise first round corner. Like when you get into the background, like the Noah Igbinoghene from a couple years ago, or the Emmanuel Forbes from 2023. Like
Emmanuel Forbes before Christian Gonzalez will never.
Oh, that was bizarre to me.
Will never not be funny for me.
Listen, and I feel for the scout. There was one scout in particular they highlighted on like a social media outlet of like, this is the guy who pounded the table for Emmanuel Forbes and like put out a social media blast, like hype video around the scout. And it's just like, oh no. Yeah, that doesn't age very well. But Maxwell Hairston is kind of getting that buzz because we have seen the cornerback class kind of drop off from what we thought it was going to be preseason. Again, Benjamin Morrison, a hip injury to a guy who already I didn't think had super twitchy hips. At 5'11", 190-pound body type. And Maxwell Hairston, let's be real, is extremely thin as well, but he's more like 6'1", 180. Like, he's still pretty freaking thin. But, I mean, some of these teams need corners. The NFL needs corners, and so these guys are going to get pushed up the board. So there's buzz that Hairston could be that guy, but he hasn't played all year, and so that really stinks because I'd like to see him against Isaiah Bond in this game. But we're not going to see that. So we'll see what kind of – I mean – we know Sark is going to dial up the eye candy. Let's see if Quinn can find it instead of doing one Mississippi and a check down like he tends to do. So
yeah,
let's see him. And he tried to push the ball down the field last game, and it was awful. I charted him as 0 for 5 on throws, 25 or more in depth. So, which is pretty on par for how he's been the past two seasons. So we'll see what kind of happens there with Quinn Ewers in that game.
Speaking of one Mississippi and check down, that might all be what Minnesota's quarterback is able to do, because he is facing Abdul Carter and Danny Dennis Sutton, who Sutton isn't somebody who really stood out to me in the first couple of viewings. But as I was watching Abdul Carter this past week, I saw better hands from Danny Dennis Sutton. So he's a guy, again, got to go through him again and watch him specifically. But this is all to say we are excited about the matchup. This is the one individual matchup, the one prospect matchup to really keep an eye on this weekend. That is Abdul Carter versus Ariante Ursary. Because Ursary is somebody who has all of the physical tools that we look for in an offensive tackle prospect in a class where that doesn't really exist outside of Cam Williams in this class. And Cam Williams has shown his own issues. Ariante Ursary has not been a perfect prospect by any means, and that is why he is not a consensus first rounder at this point. But we are looking for that prototypical offensive tackle type to really stand out in this class, and having a good day against arguably the best player in this draft class would be huge for Ursary's draft stock.
This game is Ursary's draft stock. Like, I know they already played Michigan earlier in the season, but like, I don't think Ursary's gone against a top tier edge, because I don't consider Josiah Stewart a top tier edge.
No, he played Yakus and did pretty good against Yakus, but even Yakus is, I mean, that's a,
yeah,
probably a day three guy,
fringe top 100 guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I have been holding off on Ursary's writing up Ursary until this game.
Yeah.
Because like what other pass rusher would I watch? I mean, maybe Josiah Stewart a little bit, but we're talking about a guy who's 6 foot and 240 pounds. Like,
yeah, so Stewart at the point of attack, Stewart had absolutely no answer for Ursary's length at all.
Yeah.
It was over.
And so like, yeah, this is the game for Ursary. Mm-hmm. 80% of his draft stock is right here in this one game for me. So, I was lower on Ursary coming into the season just because I did think his pad level was pretty high. His frame was pretty exposed a lot on his 2023 tape. But again, I'm excited to see this. And for a guy as tall as him, how does he deal with Carter's bend and explosiveness and ability to take tight corners? Like that's his draft evaluation right there. That's his draft evaluation right there.
Yep. And outside of that, there is nothing else to really talk about. Notre Dame are 14-point favorites. I would be shocked if they won by anything less than that. Although I am very much hoping for my Army's sake that they're able to keep this game closer than the Navy game was. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
Keep it closer than the Navy game and then beat Navy in the Army-Navy game. That's all that matters. And I think that is all that we really need to talk about this week, right? In terms of games?
In terms of prospect matchups, yeah. I think so. Again, we're on that SEC law where half the teams are playing FCS schools. So last week and this week. So that's a lot of fun.
Let's go over the rankings, see if we agree with them, what we disagree with, and then let's get into a little bit of bracket talk, and then let's get the people out of here. College football playoff rankings: at number one, we have Oregon. Number two, we have Ohio State. Number three, Texas. Number four, Penn State. Number five, Indiana. Number six, Notre Dame. Number seven, Alabama. Number eight, Miami. Number nine, Ole Miss. Number 10, Georgia. 11, Tennessee. 12, Boise State. 13, SMU, 14, BYU, 15, Texas A&M, 16, Colorado, 17, Clemson, and then 18, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I think that's all we need to go down.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well.
Do you have any big gripes?
No. This one? No, I know people are going to complain about Indiana being ranked over some SEC schools, but not for the most part. I think this is pretty straightforward.
How do you feel about the Boise State, SMU, BYU trio down there? Because we kind of talked about Boise State and BYU and thought, you know, BYU probably had the better overall resume, even though Boise State's one loss was against the best team in the nation by 3 points. They haven't had to stand up against the level of competition on a weekly basis that BYU, even though they play in the fake football conference, has had to do. So that would probably be my one gripe. And then I think, you know, the rest of it is just kind of work itself out. Miami SMU will work itself out. Colorado BYU will work itself out most likely. And so, yeah, there's not a whole lot to talk about other than that from a rankings perspective. You want to get into the bracketology?
Let's do it. Yeah. Looking at the rankings. Yeah. I don't think I have any gripes either. The Ole Miss Georgia Tennessee cluster is kind of wonky as well, because obviously Georgia beat Tennessee but lost Ole Miss. But then Ole Miss just lost, and so it's like, you know, how do we do this? So it's kind of a little odd, wonky area there as well, especially with Alabama in there. Alabama beat Georgia as well, and
yeah,
the SEC is kind of messing with things here.
The one thing I will say, just getting into the bracket, because I think the bottom left quadrant, we don't really need to talk too much about, other than I really like that outcome where you end up with Boise State or people. So it's either Boise or the Big 12 champion. So it's either them or the Big 12 champion in that same quadrant. I think that's a good way to do it, because then you can kind of get like an even feel for how both of those teams are against similar competition, unless somehow BYU would go out and beat Ohio State in this simulation here. And so I don't mind them, even if it's a little bit of a manipulation from the committee to do it this way, But I actually personally agree with the way that they're going about that side of things, just because at the end of the day, no matter how many games you've won, if you're 9-1, 10-1, 11-1 at the end of the year, these SEC teams are more talented than you. Let's just be real about it. Just the way it is. The Big Ten teams are more talented. It's just we're being honest.
Yeah, and I wanted to clarify. I said Ole Miss just lost, and that wasn't true. What I meant is that Ole Miss is, they're also two losses, but both of their losses are to unranked SEC teams in Kentucky and LSU. And honestly, their win over Georgia is carrying them. Like, they beat South Carolina too. South Carolina is sitting 19.
I'm so
they're sitting at 9 basically because of a win over Georgia.
I'm so mad at that, even more now than I was at the time. I'm so mad at this, the outcome of the South Carolina LSU game. Because South Carolina deserved to win that football game.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And just imagine if South Carolina did win that football game. Like, we'd be talking about them because they've got a matchup against Clemson, who's 17 right now. Like, if they beat Clemson, we could be talking about South Carolina getting towards 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they did kind of, now that hindsight is hindsight, but now, like, today, we say that game might have ruined them making having a shot at the college football playoffs, which they might have a shot at today if they would have, like, that pick six wouldn't have been overturned the way that it was.
Yep. Let's go to the top left quadrant. That is probably the most fun one. Alabama, Notre Dame, and Oregon is that's tough. I think Notre Dame, I mean, I've talked about this a lot. If anybody has followed me on Twitter for a long time, I love the way that they play defense. Do I believe in Riley Leonard? Not necessarily. I actually personally believe that Riley Leonard could be a pretty decent backup at the NFL level. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's probably not going to make too many bad decisions. Somebody with athleticism to carry the football. I mean, he's a lot like Daniel Jones in a lot of ways. And honestly, he might have a little bit better pocket presence, maneuverability than Danny Dimes does. Which is now a hilarious nickname, considering he won't throw the ball more than 5 yards. But I do think Riley Leonard presents a lot of difficulties for college defenses with his legs. And then on the opposite side of that, in this matchup, is the most dangerous rushing weapon in college football, because he can also throw the ball. Obviously, JT is the best running back, and you have Hampton and Singleton and all those guys. But Jalen Milroe has that two-way ability that makes him the most dangerous player in college football.
Yeah, for sure. As it sits right now, this is not an advantageous for the number one seed in college football right now. Like, of all the brackets, I mean, Miami might get dog walked by either Georgia or Penn State, although James Franklin is
yeah, it's James Franklin. I mean, it would be Georgia. Yeah. There's no way Penn State's winning that opening matchup.
Mm-hmm. And I think Miami might get dog walked by Georgia. Yes. But man, Bama could, in this current bracket, I think Bama could win the national championship as a 9 seed.
Yeah. I believe that they could too.
Yeah. 2 seed Texas. Again, I think that's a very fraudulent 2 seed. I think ranked third is, I mean, they only have one loss though, but that team finds ways to keep games close. And I just don't,
honestly, it's just, I think that they are a really good football team, offensively and defensively. We don't believe in Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, correct. Correct. But Ole Miss is, they beat Georgia. You know, you never know what could happen there. We need to talk about how advantageous having a 5 seed is. Like, if they're going to give the 4 seed to just the lowest ranked conference champion.
Yeah.
And the 5 seed is going to be the number 2 team in the nation right now. Then, like,
yes. That's why this doesn't work. No. That's why this doesn't work.
Because Ohio State would play BYU and Boise team. State right now. And that's don't walk in the semifinals.
That's what I'm saying. Ohio State gets to walk into the Final Four.
Yeah, pretty much. In this scenario, yeah, they would walk into the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
So
you almost, like, I mean, and the best thing about Ohio State is they can still win out and they won't win the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have to go and
they'd probably rematch against Oregon if they won out.
At that point, do you sit your starters?
Yeah, and just lose on purpose?
Yeah. I mean, seriously, like,
at worst, you're probably the 3 seed in the nation, 6 seed in the country, and you're playing Miami in the second round? I mean, you'd be matched up against an SEC school in the first round, though, there in this scenario, because these SEC schools are the ones cannibalizing themselves more than the Big 12 is.
Yeah.
So that's a little different. But, I mean, if you could get to the 7 seed where Indiana currently is and play Ole Miss round one, like, host Ole Miss round one, like, I would.
Yeah. Although I will say I would not want to see Ivy and Umanmilan against
that offensive line, right?
Donovan Jackson. Yeah, that depleted offensive line. That would be a tough matchup for them.
It would, and that's gonna be how it's gonna be down the stretch, though. If they get to the Big Ten Championship and beat Oregon in a rematch, we're talking about playing Notre Dame or Alabama's defensive line potentially in the second round, which is a rough pool. Or Penn State's again, Abdul Carter again, or Georgia's, like, outside of Indiana and obviously BYU. BYU, Boise State, sure. The defensive trenches of all of these teams are pretty stinking good.
Yeah. Of the outside teams, honestly.
Yeah.
Funny enough, Texas and Miami. I think Barron is about as stiff as a board.
Yeah, but he is. Yeah, man.
Decent football player, but he's just not the NFL upside just isn't super there with him, in my opinion. But this bracket, it's a lot of dude. The 12 team is so much fun.
It is.
It truly is. I can't, like, and I've been doing it. I'm up here, obviously, with my brother in Connecticut, and like just being able to have those games in NCAA because we're going through it and we're recruiting and we're playing that together. And even just having those extra games in the college football playoff is so much fun in that game.
Yeah.
And then you look at it like this. In a year where there isn't really a dominant, like Heisman winning, this team is insane, they're going to go all the way, there's a lot of openness. There's a lot of parity right now in college football. And I think because of the transfer portal, I think that in NIL, I think that's going to continue, and it's going to make for continuously exciting college football playoffs, just like this. And I think sooner rather than later, they're going to fix this. So we do not have a Boise State or a BYU stealing a 4 seed and then having the second best team in the nation if they happen to be in the same conference as the best team in the nation ending up with the 5 seed, because that's just not fair to anybody else involved in this tournament.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with, but see, even if we were to say we agree with every Power 4 conference champion should get an automatic bid and one at-large bid, but the rest should be seeded, Boise State would make the playoffs in that case. Because Notre Dame would get the at-large bid right now. And then the Big 12 winner would get a bid. And then Tennessee would get into the playoffs in that scenario. If we're saying...
No, I don't think you need to guarantee two spots for each conference.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm even saying keep it the way it is, where all 4 conference champions get an automatic bid. And then you have the one at-large bid that's guaranteed as well. Notre Dame's not in the conference. So Notre Dame would get that at-large bid.
Yeah.
And if we're only guaranteeing it to Power 4 conference champion winner, Tennessee's ranked higher than Boise State right now. Tennessee would get in, Boise State would get left out.
Yes, but I do wonder if that situation was the case. I think that this is a way for them to say, we believe that Tennessee might be the better team than Boise State. But I think if that were the situation, the committee might say Boise's at 11 instead of 12. You know what I mean?
They had a 3-point loss to the number one team in the nation.
Think they might manipulate it a little bit to get Boise in that situation over SEC. That way, this way, they can say, we think Tennessee is a really good football team, but there's nothing that we can do. We can't get them in, you know?
Yep.
I think that's kind of the way that they look at it.
That's fair. I just want to see Janty against one more Power 4 school, man. That's all I want. One too. More Janty Power 4
game. It doesn't just matter because it's not going to change his evaluation to me whatsoever. No. But
if he can rush for 200 yards in another Power 4 team, then, like, yeah, that solidifies it.
So awesome. It would be so awesome. Do you have anything else for the bracket or anything? I think I'm good, too.
I don't think so. We are at a crisp 30 minutes, which is where we like to be. So that's it, man. Enjoy a slow slate. Enjoy Indiana, Ohio State over some mimosas and French toast.
Mm-hmm. And I think I will be watching football while axe throwing and go-karting. So I think I got a fun little Saturday in front of me with some college football, and it's going to be a little bit of a time. It's going to be a good time. And then next week, guys, everybody, enjoy your holidays. We will be around. We will still be podcasting. We will probably pre-record stuff for you guys that week because you guys are going to be driving to your families. You guys are going to be flying across the country to see people. You need something to listen to. You need something to watch. And we hope that we can provide entertaining and informative enough content to choose us.
Absolutely. I love it.
That's it, man.
That's it. Until next time, have a good weekend. I am Corey. That's Dalton. This has been the Daft on Draft podcast.